Okay. First, I'm very honored to be here, and for those of you who heard Peter Van Dyke, he actually just gave my talk before me, so you don't really need to hear anything I have to say. He gave a splendid talk, and I'm really honored to be here and honored to give this talk in his honor, because he's really helped us develop this. What I want to do today is sort of that what my job was to kind of introduce the MCH life course paradigm, note a little bit about its scientific and theoretical underpinnings, to explore its implications for research, practice, and policy, get you thinking in a life course model so that you can join in with me and my colleagues in really helping to develop the MCH life course field into the future. I want to acknowledge right off the bat that I've stolen virtually all my slides from my colleagues, and this is how you deal with plagiarism. I stole them. And they steal my slides, I steal their slides, and we build on each other's. I give all my talks, I like to start by reminding everybody that to move the field forward, you need a knowledge base, a scientific basis for understanding how to make a difference in people's lives. You need social strategies, programs that you can implement that knowledge. And ultimately, you need political will to gain the resources, both financial, personal, to actually do this implementation. All three are necessary to move our field forward, and the MCH Life Course fits this model too. So I'd like to remind everybody that, everything has a life course, including the MCH Bureau and our MCH field, and I think that we're really at a kind of critical transformative moment to really think about how we want to move forward. Because the MCH Life Course reflects new and renewed ideas about how to move us forward to improve MCH population health and reduce disparities. So what is Life Course, and what isn't it? Well, it's a theory, it's a perspective, it's a framework. It's not a model, it's not a prescriptive model. And worse, there's no single definitive text. You can't find it written. You can't just go, here's the article that says it. But it does reflect the convergence of ideas and which are informed by multiple sources. The Life Course is a theory perspective that seeks to understand, explain, and improve health and disease patterns across population groups over time and over generations. It focuses on really two key questions. Everybody writes says the same issues. Why do health disparities exist and persist across population groups? That's really been their fundamental issue in MCH for 100 years. And what are the factors that influence the capacity of individuals or populations to reach their full potential for health and well-being? That's what we're trying to talk about. I'm going to argue that Life Course posits a new scientific paradigm for the field. It addresses enduring health issues with new perspectives. It requires new longitudinal and holistic approaches to MCH programs, policies, and research. It provides an integrative framework for facilitating MCH policy agenda, and it links our community to the adult health and social service policy issues that dominated the politics of today and put us at the table for why we should be considered in those same discussions. I'd like to remind everybody, for all of the newness of our field, MCH Life Course is not new. I stole this slide from Laura years ago. She may have it in her talk for all I know. I'm going to read it. And Pauline Stitt, for those who don't know, was a Martha May Elliott awardee and a major figure in the Maternal and Child Health Bureau. And I suspect she wrote this at the 50th anniversary of the title. I think so. MCH does not raise children. It raises adults. All of tomorrow's productive, mature citizens are located someplace along the MCH continuum. They are at some point in their creation either being conceived, or born, or nurtured for the years to come. There's very little genuine perception that mature people come from small beginnings, that they've had a perilous passage every moment of the way. All the population, everybody of every age, were all at one time children, and they bring to their maturity and old age the strengths and scars of an entire lifetime. That's the quintessential idea. But the difference, however, between 1960, when she wrote this, and today, 50 years later, is that the scientific base for Life Course has really dramatically changed and really strengthened. It's the same values. It's the same values they have that we have, but the scientific basis has changed. And it's really a convergence of three different fields, reproductive life course, child development, and chronic illness models that all have come to the same kind of conclusion. I'm going to briefly just mention a few of these things. The knowledge base for this field is getting stronger and continues getting stronger. Dr. Peter Van Dyke mentioned this. We put all of our faith in prenatal care as the solution. If you think about it, it's a clinical intervention. It's an intervention. It was broader than clinical, but it's a treatment kind of model. It's not a longitudinal model. It's saying we could do something now. And that, our thinking in MCH and the rest of the world, was very treatment. That is the model that's still the dominant model in American health to this day. We did a lot of great things to make prenatal care more available. We did a good job. We improved prenatal care dramatically in the United States through a lot of good work by most of the people in this audience. But poor birth outcomes continue to be bad, and disparities continue to be bad. Something needed to be done. Michael Liu, who many of you know, came across, started coming to meetings and drawing graphs like this. These are totally made-up graphs. Reproductive potential. But his point of this graph was to get us to think not just about the short period of pregnancy. This is what we really are able to do. You know, we make a little difference, but what we bring in, what women bring into their delivery, is probably more important for disparities than what we do in our clinical treatment. So these led to these views like you can't cure a lifetime of ills in 9 months of a pregnancy, our movement to focus on prenatal care wasn't sufficient, and we needed new focus on women's health, preconception, interconception, healthcare. These became our movements. These are, in a way, the basis for an MCH life course approach. Michael Liu, Neil Halfin put this graph. That's a kind of classic graph. Probably everybody in the room has seen this graph a million times, but it sort of suggests the kind of thinking that suggests how little impact our efforts in pregnancy alone make on ultimately explaining disparities. And it suggests things take place even before birth. You can see the arrows, the risk factors, the positive benefits that make a difference in people's lives that led up to the period of their pregnancy. And as Peter Van Dyke said, there are a couple different models that help explain. We now have scientific models, a kind of a cumulative impact model about stress over time, very much in the kind of weathering hypothesis model. Early programming, a tremendous amount of biological research going on about sort of set points, setting the agenda if your mother has diabetes during pregnancy, that makes you more vulnerable to diabetes, an early sort of set point. And epigenetics, most of you, you know, when I started the world, you had the gene or you didn't. It now turns out you have the gene or you didn't, and it's turned on or it's turned off by environmental factors. This changes the way we're able to think about early experience having a long-term impact. Not only in the reproductive world, but in the child development world, from neurons to neighborhood, has graphs just like we have in reproductive health, again showing the pressures of risk and risk and non-risk factors on growth. The child development world helped us think much more about time periods and linking the biology of our bodies and time periods. This is just one summary from one section, but I always like to read it because I think it really helps us understand the field. Early environments matter, and nurturing relationships are essential. Parents and other regular caregivers in children's lives are the active ingredients of environmental influence during early childhood. Children's early development depends on the health and well-being of parents. This is a two-generational model. This is a nice thing. Early experience affects the brain. The focus on 0 to 3 period begins too late and ends too soon. A wide range of environmental hazards threaten the developing central nervous system. This is our social determinant issues. The capacity exists to increase the odds of favorable developmental outcomes through planned interventions. We can make a difference. This beautifully summarizes the quintessential ideas of life course. The reproductive, the chronic disease world also entered into this. And when I was young, I studied adolescent origin of adult disease. And as I've gotten older, we've gone back and back until we're now in sort of the fetal origins and the Barker hypothesis about the fetal environment's impact on adult disease. And you get graphs like this. This is the relationship between coronary heart disease. If you're born small, you're much more likely to have coronary heart disease at the end of your life. Linking what's going on. Okay. And similarly on insulin resistance, and you could do it if you're not into kids. If you're not into prenatal, you can look at the number of adverse effects on subsequent adult health. In sum, the 21st century science provides a new scientific basis. It provides an understanding of how the social environment gets built into, or embodied into our physical bodies. It bridges our intuitive understanding of the social causes of ill health, poverty, malnutrition, and stress, with our understanding of its clinical manifestations and treatment. It incorporates our growing scientific understanding of the biology of human development into health trajectories, and it focuses on root causes of illness and disparities. 2 years, 2.5, 3 years ago, we organized, some of us, Sherry Pies, Michael Liu, and myself, organized a meeting in California to kind of move this field forward, focusing on all this. We left the meeting totally disappointed. It was a lovely meeting, but 3 years later, we're having meetings like this, so maybe this was really good to push this idea forward, to make a paradigm shift. Unfortunately, the life course theory has really primarily focused on causal analyses with little guidance for strategic action. That's the central problem. It's a fabulous theory for causality research, but it doesn't necessarily tell us what to do. And that's what the rest of the panel and myself are going to talk about now for a little while. Peter Van Dyke, knowing this, asked Amy Fine, who I think is sitting somewhere in the audience, to prepare a position paper on rethinking MCH, the life course model as an organizing framework. You can all get this. Just go to the MCH Bureau, go to the 75th anniversary, and this will appear, and you can read it. And we tried to reduce the essence, because there was no document, to a couple key things. And Amy Fine and I came up with these four lines that we thought the essence of MCH life course, of the MCH life course. Today's experiences and exposure determine tomorrow's health. Health trajectories are particularly affected during critical or sensitive periods. The broader environment, biological, physical, and social, strongly affect the capacity to be healthy. And inequality in health reflects more than genetics and personal choice. Now, if you don't like those four and you can't remember them, we came up with what we called the T2, E2 summarization, timeline, timing, environment, and health equity. So T2, E2, you got it. Okay. And then I'm making the presentation, the 75th anniversary, and I'm looking at Michael Liu's thing, and I realize all four of those concepts are buried in this particular graph, and that they're all essential to understanding the disparities that we're thinking about. There are several concerns about life course. Some people confuse social determinants in life course. We think life course encompasses social determinants. It's not a separate issue. Life course includes, but it goes beyond medical and clinical care. I'm very concerned not to have where the clinical world says, I can't deal with this, and all of our public health people say, we love this model. We have to figure out how to make these work together. We're really happy Tina Chang is going to be speaking a little on the linkages. Life course is not a deterministic trajectory. This is not replacing, genetic determination. We think of it as a transformational interactive model. At any given moment, you can improve or not improve your life course, and life course values life at every age. The Bureau asked us to give them some ideas, so we organized it around three concepts: strengthening the MCH life course knowledge base, developing new programs and policies, and engaging and enhancing MCH partnerships. You might remember it's actually the same thing as this, but you can't say the government can't create political will. It's not like a good word in government, but you can develop partnerships, which is a form of political will. We wrote out a whole series of things we needed to know about knowledge base. There is general agreement among those working the MCH life course, strategies that the knowledge base around the concepts and practices needs to be further strengthened. Among key areas to be addressed are building and disseminating the scientific evidence supporting the need for a life course approach, developing new standards and measures that capture key life course concepts, developing new methodological approaches. Like, we don't know how to measure cumulative risk. There's like a world of activity for MCH epidemiologists. Developing new methodological approaches for monitoring longitudinal impact, documenting and disseminating information on the types of programs, practices, and policies that are working, because there's a lot of experimentation and we should learn from that, and incorporating life course theory into training and continuing education, which I know Laura's going to talk about. And she'll talk about the Life Course Research Network and other things. Translating it into practice is our biggest challenge. And I just want to pick two of the lines that we wrote in this in our document. We need to consciously build a program policy pipeline for healthy development, a continuum of services and supports that promote optimal health and development from birth throughout the lifespan and from birth of one generation to the next. We also need programs and policies that address root causes of disparities in health by helping to reshape the conditions in which people live, work, play, and develop it. A lot of exciting activity is happening. The Bureau has really generated enthusiasm for this. But for in practical terms, for those who can't figure, like, what does this mean? I asked the head of the Boston Public Health Commission what this meant for her. And she said, the life course means there are multiple time points for intervention. You don't have to do it just at that moment. You can think more creatively. And there are many more settings to do your intervention. Everybody, in a way, this takes a village to raise a child. We can make that the way we do our work, and the policy was important. We've argued that several of us need to talk about issues around continuities and discontinuities, holistic continuity, mental health and physical health, vertical continuity within our health profession. Medical home is an example of a vertical continuity. Horizontal continuity, our relationship among the different health and education, health and housing. We have to make real problems. We have tremendous disconnects. We all know that. And longitudinal continuity, being aware of transitions to adulthood, transitions to puberty. There's lots of key moments that we just leave things and stop. And different counties, different places in the country, we're going to hear from Mario Drummond talking a little bit about moving away not just from an MCH life course program to an MCH life course system. Other places have been doing that. We're going to hear about that later. Amy Fine and myself argue these are the sort of four key kind of ideas for policy and practice. We have to develop integration initiatives for clinical and public health within health systems and between health and other systems. We have to take more holistic approaches, think about the whole child, the whole family, the whole community. You know, you don't just go to a doctor for one arm and a doctor for your left leg, but think about holistically. Look for common root causes. Look for upstream interventions. And think more about place-based initiatives, transformative initiatives within a community. A lot of the work on obesity fits this sort of model where you're trying to. But moving beyond clinical care and even public health care, initiatives that strengthen communities and give communities the capacity to participate are equally as important as some of the clinical work and public health work we do. And we still need federal and state initiatives to address some of the issues around poverty, work, and other issues that really plague and really cause harm, and racism that cause harm to our MCH community. Just acknowledge these are the kind of issues that we face. You know, addressing the immediate needs that we have today is hard to do against theoretical life course gains in the future. You know, we're talking about, think about the future, but today the need is there, and that's what we have to work on. We have categorical mandates from laws. We have budget cuts that make people have to do more with less money, and then along comes the MCH life course people say, you got to do even more. These are places that are a problem. There's no menu of life course interventions. That's your challenge. Attributable risk benefits proposed for the interventions haven't really been that well demonstrated. For all the lovely graphs that I write and everybody else writes, we haven't proved it. But here's the thing. While we do good now, we're not going to prevent MCH problems from simply reoccurring in the future. If we don't think about bending that curve, not just helping the people currently, but bending that curve so that we don't have all the same problems that 30 years or 50 years from now. We don't have a different group in the audience, equally as well-meaning as we are today, who are facing the same immediate problems that we haven't really made a difference. To finish up on these last two slides or so, this is my colleague Debbie Allen, just sort of a nice summary of a way of thinking about it. I asked her the same thing. What would you do for MCH life course? She said, avoid the allure of categorical solutions. Focus on upstream population needs. Assure that needed programmatic collaborations happen. Partner with all sectors. Invest in data for policy decisions. Install visionary leaderships. But it was a nice way of thinking about it. The Bureau has picked up on the theme of developing partners. And these are many partners. And this talk and this session is part of our training of our partners, making us the leaders so we carry this forward. And let me just end by saying, you know, what I like about the MCH Life Course for me is it reintroduces and rebalances social determinants and life course perspectives within MCHB. Move away from just clinical now interventions, programmatic interventions, which are important, but it rebalances this. It allows me to speak about social determinants in public forums, which I haven't been able to do for a lot of years. It builds on our heritage and legacy. It provides an interesting and exciting transformational moment, you know, a possible call for the future of our things. You heard that from Peter Van Dyke. But transforming MCH life course theory and research into concrete programs and policies is a work in progress, a paradigm shift that will require all of our collaboration and efforts to make happen and to really reap its benefits. Thank you very much.